Good morning. It's spring. Good morning. Well, it's not spring yet. 18 minutes from now will be spring. And as I mentioned in Bible class, I'm going to take this opportunity to say that I have preached through two seasons, winter and spring. So as we leave today, it will be spring. We're glad to have all of you here. As mentioned, if you're visiting with us, we're especially glad to have you. As I mentioned in Bible class, Brother David is out of town this week, so I'm providing the lesson this morning, and Brother Mike Wester will be providing it this afternoon. So I encourage all of you to come back to hear Mike, because we know he'll do a great job this afternoon. Today we're going to talk about forgetfulness. I will not ask for a show of hands who is affected by forgetfulness, because I know none of you are. None of you have walked into a room and looked around and said, "Why am I in this room?" None of you have gone to the grocery store and got there and said, "What am I to buy? Don't have my list with me." None of you have looked for your glasses with them on top of your head. And I know none of you have called someone to say, "I can't find my phone." I was on the phone with my mother not too long ago. She was taking my nieces to a ball game, and she sounded flustered. I said, "Mom, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm looking for my phone, son." I said, "You have it, Mom." She goes, "I did have it, but I don't have it, and I'm looking for it." I said, "You have it. You're talking to me." Then there was a long silence on the phone. She's like, "Thanks, son. You helped me find my phone." I'm like, glad I could help. So before we start the lesson this morning, I'm going to read a funny story just to kind of set the stage. Now, this is a wife's story, so I'm not picking on the women. It's just a funny story that goes along with forgetfulness. And this is written from the wife's perspective. After a meeting, I was coming out of the hotel conference room, and I was looking for my car keys. They were not in my pockets. And a quick search in the meeting room, they weren't there either. Suddenly, I realized I must have left them in the car. My husband has shouted at me many times for leaving the keys in the ignition. My theory is that's the safest place for them to be, and I won't lose them if I know they're in the ignition. His theory is that the car will be stolen. Immediately I rushed to the parking lot, I came to a terrifying conclusion. His theory was right. The parking lot was empty. So I immediately called the police. I gave them my location, the tag number, description of the car, the place where I was parked, etc. I equally confessed that I left my keys in the car and that it had been stolen. Then I made the most difficult call of all, to my husband. "Honey," I stammered, I always call him honey in times like this, "I left my keys in the car and it has been stolen." There was a period of silence. I thought the call had been dropped. Then I heard his voice. "Unbelievable," he shouted, "I dropped you off at the hotel." Now she says, "It's my time to be silent." Embarrassed, I said, "Well, come and get me." He shouted again, "I will, as soon as I convince this policeman that I have not stolen your car." So, a simple story, but we can all relate, right? And Brother Jimmy Green's not here this morning, but I love Jimmy and his pearls of wisdom. One day he and I were talking, I said, "Jimmy, I forgot this." And he says, "You know, Tom, the good thing is when you get my age, you forget you forgot it, so it doesn't matter. You never think about it anymore. You don't think about what you forgot." And I said, "Well, that's something to look forward to." Forgetfulness is an issue that we all face. Oh, went the wrong way. And it affected Israel as well. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The Israelites witnessed many miracles. They saw the power of God firsthand during their exodus from Egypt. They witnessed the plagues. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And after many years of crying out to be saved, they were finally freed. Sadly, it wasn't long before they started to complain. They forgot about their situation before, and they started rebelling. They quickly chose to forget how they had been slaves, heavily oppressed by the Egyptians, and how they cried out for God for deliverance. They quickly chose to forget the reason that God delivered them from Egypt, which was to take them to the promised land that he had promised to Abraham. It's easy for us to look back at these events in history and wonder and question why things happened, but then we question, well, why would they forget? They saw this firsthand. Why did they turn so quickly after witnessing all he had done for them. But today we're going to talk about the problems that the Israelites had, and I think we'll discover that they're the root of the problems that we have as Christians, because we forget as well. So there's three things we're going to talk about. The Israelites forgot that God could and would and did provide for them. They forgot where they were before God delivered them out of Egypt, and then they forgot where they were going. So the first thing we're going to talk about is they forgot that God cared enough to provide for their needs. Turn to Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. The Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron because they were hungry. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the fletched pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." These people had just witnessed the great miracles of God, freeing them out of Egypt, but now they think that he can't provide something as basic as food. Notice they didn't just say they were hungry. What did they say? "We're going to die. I have never been so hungry, thankfully, that I was afraid I was going to die. Now, I probably thought I have, but I haven't." It's amazing how miserable we can make ourselves if we concentrate only on the negative. How bad it is. "Lord, I'm so hungry, I'm going to die." And if we concentrate on things, even if it's just a small moment in time, it will change our perspective. They didn't think God could provide them food, but he did. Verses 11 through 14 of Exodus 16, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up, covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the frost on the ground." God heard their complaint. He provided them food. Everything was okay, right? Not necessarily. Look at the beginning of chapter 17. "Soon thereafter, and the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Seems kind of dramatic to me. They were so hungry they were going to die. Now they're so thirsty they're going to die. Do any of you have any children that are dramatic? You know, Shelby's here, so I'll tell her this story, and she's smiling at me back there. When she was about two, she was very dramatic, but she couldn't say dramatic. So we'd say, "Shelby, stop being dramatic." She said, "I'm not mimetic." But she was mimetic, and everything was a dramatic scene. And I see these Israelites are this way. "We're starving, Lord, we're going to die. Now we're so thirsty, we're going to die." He's already taken care of them. He provided the food. Yet now when they're thirsty, what is their mindset? "He's not going to take care of us. We're going to die." They were not just hungry or thirsty. They thought they were going to die. But you know what makes this situation worse? Go back to Exodus chapter 15. He's already provided them water once. So they know that he will provide because he has. In Exodus 15, 23 to 27, it says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which he had cast into the waters. Then the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." So they had witnessed all of these great things, God had made the water sweet for them, told them there would be no diseases, all of these things, yet how quickly they forgot. Every time they get in a situation to where they're hungry or thirsty, they forget all of the wonderful things that God had done for them. They're complaining that he brought them out and that they're going to die. Do we ever forget what God has done for us? We think about and we look back on our lives. God has done many, many wonderful things for us. But yet it seems at times when we get in a situation where something is not going just right, we're like, Lord, you're not helping me out of this. We will have the attitude that the Israelites have. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is addressed for us as well in the New Testament, where the Lord says, take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need. So the emphasis here is, God knows our needs. Now, he doesn't say, don't go to the grocery store and buy food because I will provide quail and manna. He's not going to do that. But we have the resources that we will be taken care of if we trust in him. Excuse me. Sadly, there are a lot of Christians who adopt the mindset of, I can't make it through these tough times. Things are just so tough, I just can't do it. We talked about in Bible class this morning that Christianity is a religion of the heart. So it's our mindset, it's our attitude. How do we seek God, and do we love him, and do we trust him? And if we do, we will see that he will take care of us if we serve him as we should. But the Bible says we need to seek him with our whole heart, walk in his ways, and serve him, not automatically focus on the negative things. We talk about and we sing, Count Your Many Blessings. A few weeks ago, I wrote an article about singing and some things that can help us through this. Count Your Many Blessings. The song says, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. If we just take a few minutes to think about that, God has done some wonderful things for us. And to finish that passage in Matthew, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in verse 33, and all these things will be added to you. That was the problem the Israelites had. They were not focused on pleasing God and doing his will. They wanted to be taken care of right now, in the moment, their immediate needs, and they wanted God to act on them right now. They forgot about the things that he had done for them before. They want it fixed now. Like a baby when it's hungry. He or she just wants to eat. Everything else is secondary. God had promised them he would deliver them out of Egypt, and he did. He told them that he would take them to the promised land, and he would. We think, how is that not enough for them? Why isn't that enough to make them satisfied and happy? Especially with all the things that he had done for them. But to apply it to us, we see the same thing. God has said, I will provide these things for you if you serve me. So we have that promise. So we need to put his will above ours. Now, it's a common thing. Humans have a hierarchy of needs, and Maslow talks about that. Our survival and our security and our being, we take care of number one. It was a problem for Israel, and it was a problem in the first century church. And unfortunately, it's still a problem now. We worry about ourselves, what our needs are, instead of doing what God has asked us to do. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 through 14. Neither murmur ye as some have murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples and are written for our admonition upon the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with all the temptation will make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. So this tells us we use those examples of things past to help us learn. The New Testament said the Old Testament was written for our example. We need to look back and see where they failed and how they failed and take that, learn from it, and do better. Too many times we wait to reach out to God till it seems all hope is lost. He's our last resort instead of our first resort. As we talked this morning, if our heart is right and we're seeking Him, we will be doing everything to please Him and His will from the beginning. And if that's the case, things will take care of themselves and things will work out as they should. We cannot wait to go to Him when everything is falling apart. And some people say, why does God let this happen to me? Doesn't God care about me? He does, but things happen. We live in a sinful world with sinful people. But we must trust Him enough that we believe that He will take care of us, and He will. So not only did the Israelites forget that God would provide for their needs, they forgot how God had delivered them. The Lord constantly reminded them that He brought them out of Egypt. Exodus 16, 6, verse 32, 20, chapter 20, verse 2, and more. Why did He have to remind them? We talked about that in Bible class, right? Because as humans, we need to be reminded because we quickly forget what God has done for us. We quickly forget the blessings that we have. And if we're not careful, that'll happen to us. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, after all the reminders that God had given the Israelites, what did they do? They made a golden calf, an idol, and claimed it was the God that delivered them out of Egypt. Exodus 32, verse 4 says, "And He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. After He made it a molten calf, and they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" So after all that God has done for them, after all the reminders they've had, they started thinking that other gods had delivered them. They began to think being slaves in Egypt was better than what they had now. We read earlier how they said, at least in Egypt, they had water to drink, food to eat. So Numbers 11:5, this is an interesting passage. It says, "We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic." I get this vision in my head that the Israelites are sitting around and, you know, the cartoons we used to watch where they had the little bubble above them and the cucumbers and the melons and all of these things are above their head and they're remembering how great and wonderful it was. But yet they forgot that they had cried out to God to deliver them out of Egypt. And I don't know if this is a word or not, but they misremembered their lives in Egypt. They thought things were much better than they really were, how things used to be. The Lord has delivered us from the bondage of sin, but we often forget where we came from and how He delivers. Romans 6 says, when we die to sin, we're not to live under it anymore. Romans 6, 17 and 18, and we read this in Bible class. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." It can be easy to look back on our old life of sin, and a lot of people do that. They look back and think of the so-called fun they had, or the friends that they lost, or the freedom that they gave up in order to be a Christian. We don't need to reminisce and think about what we gave up in order to be a Christian. We need to look forward toward the prize, heaven. That's where we should be focused, forward, not backwards. If you spend a lot of time thinking about the past, missing and what you could have done, what you should have done, and you're focused on the wrong thing. Your focus has to be, as we talked about this morning, on heaven, on doing God's will, and doing it to the best of your ability. The pleasures of sin only last a season, but their end is destruction. So focus on heaven. Philippians 3, 13, 14 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, many will read this passage and say, well, Paul is telling us to forget everything about our past. That's not what he's telling us at all. Because Paul made mention of his old life several times, didn't he? He identified himself as what? The chief of sinners. He kept in mind how he lived before, how he sinned, what he did wrong, but he also looked forward to heaven and doing those things that he needed to do to fix those things he had done before, to live how he should. This is a point I want you to remember. I think if anything you get from this lesson, this is a point of emphasis. Our past cannot keep us from doing what God desires and commands of us in the present. So you can't let your past keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. Paul often acknowledged how he was not living as he should, but the grace of God allowed him to change and to be profitable. And it's the same for us. We need to remember that one time we were lost to truly appreciate being saved. Right? You can't appreciate something like Terry said in class. He didn't appreciate, well, he did appreciate worship, but he really realized how he appreciated it when he wasn't able to attend. Same thing with our salvation. We need to really think we were lost. And without Christ, we had no hope. So we need to appreciate the hope we have. Now, I want to use an analogy here, and I don't want you to take this as a scriptural analogy because it's not. It's just simply a thing for us to remember. Michael Jordan was cut from his JV basketball team, and he talked about that a lot. And he said he hated that feeling, and he said, I will never be cut again. And he put in the work, the emphasis, and the practice, and he was never cut again. And he's probably the greatest person that's ever played basketball because of the effort and the work that he put into it. But he kept that feeling of what it felt like to be cut, and that's what drove him. As Christians, we need to understand what it is like to be lost, and we were. And that should be our driving force going forward, that we want to do everything in our power to serve God and His will and do those things that He has asked us to do, because we realize we were lost, but through the sacrifice of His Son and our Savior, we're not. So we have the opportunity to go forward, to continue to keep in mind and stay focused. So they forgot that God could deliver them. They forgot where they came from. And then finally, they forgot where they were going. We already talked about in Exodus 16 and 17, they questioned the reason for being brought out of Egypt. But Moses had told them before what was going to happen and why they were brought out. Exodus 4, 29 to 31 says, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So they knew why they were being taken out of Egypt, but yet when things got bad and all they could see was the desert around them that they were traveling, they saw they were thirsty, they were hungry, they had those visions of the food in their head, they forgot. They forgot where they were going. The big picture was the promised land, but they let the big picture fade away. And all they focused on was the here and now. As Christians, it's easy for us to focus on the desert around us that's surrounding us at the moment and to take our eye off the big vision, the big picture, heaven. Hebrews 10 tells us to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. Why? None of us can do this alone. We need help. We need encouragement. We need each other. I need you to help me stay focused on heaven. I ask all of you to help me to stay focused on it because we need that help. Our priorities. We all have planners, short-term, long-term priorities. What is our long-term priority? There should be one. Make it to heaven. And everything that we do from now until then should get us to that priority or to that longing. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Hebrews writer tells us it's easy to be knocked off course if we let the things of life, our daily activities, take over. We will get knocked off course. You can't put the cares of the world above what we're to do for God. Remember a couple of weeks ago, David's Sunday night lesson, I think it was the 6th of March, the devil wants to knock us off course. The devil wants us to be in hell. He doesn't want us to be in heaven. So the devil's working actively for that, so we need to counteract that. It's easy for us to get knocked off course. Must run the race and keep the goal in mind. I remember in 2011 or 12, I got this grand idea on Maxwell about every quarter they do a 15K race, 9.3 miles. I said, I can do that. I never ran more than 6.2 miles before, so I'm saying, why not? I can do 9. It's just another 3. And it was another 3. A long 3. But about halfway through the race, at about 4.5 mile point, I started thinking to myself, why am I doing this? I hate running. I'll be honest with you. I was a fast runner, but I didn't like it. I ran fast to get it over with. But 9 miles is hard to run fast. So I started questioning myself, why are you doing this? You can't make it. But I realized I was halfway around the Maxwell flight line. So what happened if I stopped running? Still had 4.5 miles to walk back. May as well run. So I kept running. I stopped one time to tie my shoe. I ran for 79 minutes. Haven't done it since. I've had no desire to do it since. I haven't even ran 6 miles since. But I can say I've done it. But I could have easily stopped, but I decided to keep going. And that's what the Hebrews writer is telling us. Keep going. You know, a lot of us put a goal up if we want a certain outfit we want to wear or a vacation we want to go to. You put a picture of it up, right? And you put your goal date, and this is what I'm going to do to get to that point. We need to have heaven as our picture. That's our goal. And everything that we do in this life is to get us to that point. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We sing a song that says, "Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay." Think about that. Heaven will surely be worth it all. So we need to stay focused. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keep our Christian life before us and work hard to run that race and stay focused on it. Well, I told you I was going to preach into spring, and I did. It's spring. So the Israelites were quick to forget what God did for them, where they came from, where they were going. What's the application for us? It can be easy for you and me as a Christian to forget that God has promised to take care of us. Have we let doubt, worry, the things of this life affect our focus and God's promise to us? It can be easy to forget that God delivered us out of sin. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we are not to use that to continue in sin. But we know that if we serve him to the best of our abilities and walk in the light, everything will take care of itself. Romans 8:28. It's easy for us to forget that this world is not our permanent home, but we also, that we're going to a promised land. I was talking to Steve and Kathleen a couple of weeks ago, and they said they were moving into their new house. And I said, "You're moving into your forever home." And Kathleen said, "No, this is not my forever home." And that was a good point, because our forever home is not here. A lot of us spend thousands upon thousands on granite countertops and those kind of things for our home to make it our forever home. It's okay to put nice things in your house, but realize that's not your forever home. Our forever home is in heaven if we live like we should. Let us not become like the Israelites. Let us not forget what God has done for us. God loves you. He loves me. He loved us enough that he gave his son for us, John 3:16, to die on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross. Have you been washed in that blood? Do you believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world and is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess your belief and to turn from your sins? Repent. Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins? You could start this first day of spring as a new creature. It could be a new day of growth for you as well. Do you know where you're going when this life ends? If it ends today, do you know where you'll be? If you've obeyed the gospel but have let doubt, worry, fear, you've forgotten the blessings of God, and you need to be restored or you need to come back, you'll have that opportunity today as well. If there's any need that you have, we ask that you come while we stand and sing together.